This is the Humboldt Chronicles.
I am the queen of everything. Gotta be high before I can sway. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper.
I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. The Humboldt Chronicles is made possible by, and big thanks to, Archaeological Research and Supply, Eco Groovy Deals in Arcata, The Heart of Humboldt, Sisu Extracts, and Sensa Valley. Thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you. Smart, thoughtful, responsible people, we all know them. They're the ones who keep an eye on the horizon, trying to be prepared for whatever is next in this old world. So, a little over a year ago, the Humboldt County Growers Alliance formed as a way of helping cultivators and distributors and retailers, patients, and others navigate the changes that were no doubt on the way with California's legalization of marijuana. So, in the next hour, we're going to be talking with Tara Carver, who is with the Growers Alliance, about how time flies and how this last year has unfolded, both the expected and unexpected turns in this emerging industry. We will also be hearing and reacting to comments from folks at the Brookings Institution and the National Cannabis Industry Association. And another thing, we're also going to begin a discussion that will spill over into next month's edition of this program about Southern Humboldt County and how it's faring in this new economy. First, here in the studio is Tara Carver. She is Executive Director of the Humboldt County Growers Alliance. First of all, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on this show. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
You were on the ground floor with the HCGA back in 2017 before legalization.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, subtracting what you know now, no 2020 hindsight allowed, mm-hmm. what were your expectations then about how 2018 legalization in California would go?
Ooh, that's a great question. We as a county and a community have been working or had been working up to the date of January 1st for many years now, really in the trenches for the last 3 years. And I think that there was a lot of expectation for January 1st to be kind of, okay, we've been working really hard, now it's all going to work. Unfortunately, right. That's not exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. That date came July 1st because the state of California started to actually regulate the industry through requiring testing results and compliant packaging. And so
On July 1st.
And so we kind of expected and hoped for this big wave of compliant businesses or the supply chain to connect, but it didn't quite happen until July.
Yeah. And you know, going back to just prior to January 1st, we started this show before legalization. There was a lot of anticipation leading up to California legalization for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. not the least of which was the fact that a state that's larger than some countries,
most
countries, was moving in this direction, mm-hmm. California. Let's listen to John Hudak, and I want to get your reaction to this. He studies public management and policy at the Brookings Institution, mm-hmm. reacting to California's entry into the legal cannabis market. What you're going to hear is him being interviewed on PBS.
This was absolutely the biggest day in the history of the marijuana reform movement, hands down. In terms of being a tipping point, it's a bit hard to tell. I think in the short term, we're not going to see much movement at the federal level. What happened in this election was big for marijuana, but what also happened was the status quo in Congress, the same leadership in Congress, who frankly is opposed to reform. But what this change in the landscape of marijuana policy can do is to start to embolden the industry, to start to get the industry having a stronger voice, a more powerful voice, and a more powerful economic voice to eventually move policy in the right direction toward their interest in reform.
So, Tara, I guess he's right that the industry is more emboldened now. But that doesn't account, it seems to me, for the fact that there are still those who oppose legalization, who don't want it in their towns or county. But the momentum is clearly toward an open legal market. And you have written before about this and about the need for our community at large, not just those in the cannabis industry, to face the reality that this is where we're going. It's not going to reverse, and that we all have to work together in order to make this a success. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And how is that going?
Well, that's a big question. but going back to the quote there, the election in November was twofold for us as a cannabis community, as activists. It was a massive, massive moment for social justice. Mm-hmm. We were able to accomplish what we have believed as a community, as a cannabis community, for a very long time, that cannabis does not hurt people and that we need to stop putting people in jail,
right.
Most part, stop putting African Americans in jail, Latinos, Asian communities, targeting people based on using this plant was a social right. justice issue.
Yeah, so surprising percentage of people in jails and prisons are there for minor
horrific
drug problems.
Horrific, and in the failed drug war. So that was a massive win. But as an industry building on seeing how the policy of Prop 64 was going to work for our businesses, that was a bitter pill to swallow from my perspective.
How so?
Prop 64 was passed by the voters of California. It was one of the biggest and largest initiatives ever to be put on a ballot. And while I truly believe the voters in California are wise and have lots of wisdom, I don't believe that a lot of them read 62 pages of yeah. very, very detailed policy.
Right.
And so Prop 64 came with a massive social justice win, but it came with, okay, now we have to do this based on these laws. And because it was voted as a voter initiative, or it became a law as a voter initiative, there's restrictions and limitations to how we can change that. And so there's a kind of a time capsule of policy. And as we build this industry, going back in trying to amend that policy based on the way that the market is moving is going to be difficult. Taxes are a really good example. The tax structure that was passed by the voters is fairly broken and going to be very difficult to change. So the other thing that happened that day was Donald Trump was elected, or that night.
Yeah.
And so we now as an industry faced legalization, but all of a sudden we faced potentially one of the most horrific opponents of legalization.
Right.
And so that was a very confusing emotional.
And he appoints then Jeff Sessions as Attorney General.
Absolutely. And then
who has a long history with this issue.
So we as advocates and activists, I would say it was a very confusing time.
Pros and cons on election night.
Indeed.
Yeah. Given all that, what then is your organization's list of priorities right now? And there's a lot going on, so I assume multitasking is an understatement for you. But what is your organization's list of priorities right now, given all that you just laid out there?
Sure. Going a little bit back, just to kind of introduce the organization as a whole, the Humboldt County Growers Alliance is a local trade association. We only work and represent our members. Mm-hmm. Our members, per our bylaws, can only be those who are in the permitting process or permitted.
Okay.
So we only represent the legal side of the cannabis industry.
And what's your membership total?
We have roughly around 200 cannabis businesses that are within Humboldt County and the cities that are regulating. Mm-hmm. And then we're also supported by auxiliary businesses that want to see our mission continue. And our mission is to preserve, protect, and enhance Humboldt County's world-renowned cannabis industry.
And the brand.
Well, partly.
Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Yep.
Here's another thing. And I believe the correct number is something around 60%. But larger and ever larger slices of this country are now areas where, at the very least, medical marijuana is available. Some places we know that's the only thing that has been done so far. But still, there's that. So it's something like 60% or so of the population. Of course, when you have large states like California, that boosts that number for sure. It appears unlikely that we're going to reverse course on this. So let's listen to Taylor West, who is from the National Cannabis Industry Association.
This was a watershed day for the cannabis industry, but also for cannabis policy in the U.S. And we saw, as you said, 8 states vote for some form of legal regulated marijuana program. We now have 20% of the country living in a state that has access to legal marijuana, and more than 60% of the country living in a state that has legal access to medical marijuana. This is in line with what we've seen from public opinion polls, so it really does reflect the direction that the country is moving on these issues.
So the direction is pretty clear.
Yeah.
From even people who are not in California, and she's not. So the direction is pretty clear. So if we don't see this as a new frontier, work together on it and move forward, what happens?
So she, I believe, was speaking on behalf about California legalizing recreational or adult use cannabis. For me, the watershed moment was recently when Oklahoma legalized medical.
Yes.
That
Arkansas did as well. Yeah.
Monumental. Yes. When you start seeing conservative states really look at this through the lens of public safety, public health, and regulation, that for me is the big change. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really proud of those states and the people who have been able to move that line forward. So looking forward, what is this going to look like? Well, I think that definitely depends on what kind of administration we have. States' rights,
yeah,
how that plays into it. Interstate commerce, is that a thing? Can we do that? Looking forward out into the international space, we're also starting to see countries who are moving forward and outpacing us on this issue. Canada is, they've legalized it.
Yeah, they're miles ahead.
And we're starting to see a lot of influx because Canadians have decided this, that we're starting to see money from Canada come down and enter the California space because our investment capital is not freed up in American banks. And so the very micro granular level of public policy, you know, within your county or your city, is this conversation is global at this point. It's not going back in the box or the bottle.
I happen to know that you talk to legislative people and you hear what's going on in discussions that are political. Is your feeling that eventually this is going to be, there's going to be movement on this federally?
Absolutely.
It's hard to tell when, obviously.
It's hard to tell when, but this isn't rolling backwards.
What we hear, and I'm anxious to know if this is something you hear as well. One thing that we hear is that there are even conservative Republicans who in some states are now seeing this more as an economic issue rather than a culture war issue the way it has been for so many years. Do you sense the same thing? And if they start seeing it as an economic issue, of course, that may move the ball forward.
Absolutely. This is a business. I spent 4 years going to College of the Redwoods. Yes, it took me 4 years. I also had another job. But
you made it.
But, well, yeah. Kind of. All actually, right. I didn't finish math. But I spent 4 years in their agricultural program, and it was really interesting to me because I was studying ag business, and I was studying soil science, and I was studying marketing and branding, and all of these things that I could not discuss with my community because we didn't have access to those. But this is no different. And I think actually, well, I will say it is a little different. Looking forward, we can create policy with a new paradigm and a new consciousness that really puts people and our environment into the conversation, unlike other industries who have had to, you know, they're trying to ratchet back regulations or move regulations to improve the environment or working conditions. We can really create policy that's forward thinking. So that is the one piece that I think is really unique about this space, is the opportunity we have right now to use cannabis and the cannabis industry and on a policy level as a real representation of what we could as a whole community and culture be doing on the policy level.
We're going to get to another topic in just a few minutes, but just as a way of kind of teeing it up, small operators in this business, if they coalesce into, say, co-ops, for example, is that something that you advocate for, or how do you? What's your view on that?
Yeah. So
is that maybe the best way forward?
There's a couple different lanes for the smallest producers, specifically in Humboldt County. I guess I should go back and say the Humboldt County Growers Alliance, we're strategically partnered with the California Growers Association, and they handle our affairs in Sacramento. One of the biggest priorities out of that organization, which is on its fourth year, I believe, it has been to establish cannabis agricultural co-ops within the law to be able to allow businesses to work together to further their goals. And we were able to accomplish that last year. There are some limitations to the co-ops on how big they can get and who can be in them, but it's been tailored to the smallest producers. And so there's a lot of opportunity for people to come together and work together, which is very unique to Humboldt, Southern Humboldt specifically.
Right.
Watersheds have been forming fire departments. They have community centers. They have schools. They've had to work together already.
Right, right.
So now this is just a new branch to that. There's also some really interesting plays on how not only can they form co-ops, well, if all those co-ops are working together, not only on the business, well, what if they were working on road associations together, or Sanctuary Forest is doing some wonderful work right now creating working with landowners to allow for more unity when they are pulling water or not pulling water. So there's a lot of opportunity in this space. I think that it's just a matter of getting that information out there.
Save that thought. We're going to pick up on that in just a moment.
Awesome.
We're going to continue our discussion with Tara Carver of the Growers Alliance in just a minute. First, though, a reminder that if you want to, you can weigh in on this. You can call us anytime at 707-786-5946. You can also email questions or comments to studio@HumboldtChronicles.com. As we go to break, a retail minute with Harry at Heart of Humboldt.
Typically, I would steer you to at least an indica-leaning hybrid if that's an issue, because sativa does the same thing for me. It gives me anxiety, and that's not a whole lot of fun for me. I don't want to be that apprehensive for no good reason. But there's certain strains, say a sativa, for instance, Three Kings. It's got just enough OG in there, indica, to keep the headband and the sour diesel from freaking me out all day, which... that's awesome. I mean, so you can actually dial it in even further than just the three options of, you know, indica, hybrid, sativa. And strain specific, I mean, there's certain strains of indica that are better at killing pain than other strains of indica. You learn something new every day with cannabis, and you always got to keep your ears open and your mind open and be willing to take on a little bit of education, but that's it. You know, I mean, every day is learning, and that's the best part about it. We try to be as discreet as we can with everybody, especially when it comes to a medicinal type need, you know, and if someone's coming in without a 215 card but still has medicinal issues they need to address, we stay on top of that. And if you come in and tell us exactly what you're trying to address, it makes it so much easier for us to be able to serve you and really address your needs and what you're trying to get out of this great plant. This is Harry, and remember, laughter is always the best medicine, and we'll help to get you there at the Heart of Humboldt, 601 I Street in Arcata. Open till 8 on Friday and Saturday, until 7 Monday through Thursday, and 6 on Sunday. Also, check us out on Leafly or Instagram for the menu and deals. Roll on in and keep the Heart of Humboldt beaten.
We have the best music. Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. To set up the next part of our discussion, we want to go to a local cannabis industry business person talking about the appeal of the Humboldt brand.
And all the Grateful Dead shows that I saw, not once did I ever see somebody holding a sign in the air asking for Michigan Sun Grown Outdoor. It was always, I'll give you my two front row tickets for a quarter ounce of Humboldt. Wasn't even strain specific, just grown in Humboldt. That name still holds true to this day.
That confirms what previous guests have said on this show. Here in the studio, once again, is Tara Carver of the Humboldt County Growers Alliance. As you talk to others in the business, are you still hearing that there's value in the Humboldt brand?
Absolutely. You know, the Humboldt brand, I like to call it the Humboldt myth. We as a community have been quiet. We've never had an opportunity to talk to our consumer.
Right.
We stayed safe by not doing that.
Yeah.
And so we have a myth of what Humboldt County cannabis is, and that is an opportunity to leverage our brands, our independent brands and our collective brand. In addition, because we've had so many travelers from across the world come and work on our farms, Venezuela and France, Italy, I mean, on and on and on. We've literally seeded the world with the experience of Humboldt, which is unique to the Emerald Triangle.
Right.
And so the opportunity going forward is how do we harness that? How do we ensure that we tell the true story and the story has integrity, and how do we reach our consumers? And so that's really the interesting piece of this whole puzzle. So up until now, it's really been the fundamentals of the rules of the game or the policy.
Yeah.
And now we really get to get into the creative aspects.
And heretofore, it's just been by necessity, just word of mouth, as you say. But now there's this opportunity, right?
Yep.
Now, that assumes, though, that Humboldt growers will be able to stay afloat in this new economic climate. So let's go back to our local business person again.
Ups and downs, strikes and gutters. You know, I've been on that side of the fence down there and kind of saw the writing on the wall as far as people were going to have to jump through a lot of flaming hoops that got incrementally smaller as you went further down the line. And they are hard to get through, and a lot of people aren't going to be able to maintain the way that they've made a living for the last 20, 25 years. And that stinks. I mean, that's not right. Nobody can argue that at all. But there was the people that saw exactly what they were going to have to do, pulled up their pants, and got to it. And generally, those are always the people that succeed. Tough times are always going to be in front of you no matter what. So it's just about those who are able to make the best of a situation and make it through. I mean, it's a bad one to have to deal with. Small farms are the ones that were designed to take the brunt of the bad end of this. Everybody knew about it. It wasn't a secret in 2014 that this next round wasn't going to be like 2012. You know, we had to get on point.
Tara, what's interesting here, I think, is that policy analysts and those charged with the overwhelming job of bringing a once illegal product onto the open legal market tried to manage the task by taking into account as many perspectives as they could. In fact, we here in an earlier incarnation of this show about 6 years ago, 2012, we talked with folks about the possible legalization of cannabis and the risk that small farmers in small rural areas might be hit hardest initially as the market remade itself. And I'll bet you know where I'm going here. Do you think there was enough advanced planning?
No. I think that this, while we all knew it was coming, I think that the timelines in the Prop 64 forced the state to hit are, have been very, very difficult. I also think that our county has really, our county local government, I think they've done a really good job in managing to the best of their ability. I also believe that they've been tasked with a nearly impossible task, onboarding thousands, literally thousands of applications within our county planning department is not been easy. And both sides are frustrated. But I think going forward, for back to the small farmers, specifically of Southern Humboldt and really regionally too, Northern Mendocino, Trinity, Nevada County, Big Sur, like there's a lot of heritage small farms.
Right.
We identified early that most of these farms were located in what I like to call steep and deep, because that's where law enforcement couldn't get them.
Right.
But that didn't necessarily transfer over as the most environmentally sound place to be doing this activity. So the county came out with a really cool program, and I wish I had thought of it. I was really impressed when they came out with this. And the first ordinance, and then it transferred into the second ordinance as well, which is the RRR program. So retire, remediate, and relocate. And this is a bit of an equity program for farmers who cannot comply with the environmental regulations. And so the county has said, if you can't get your property into up into compliance, you can relocate the square footage of your property, and we will incentivize you to do that by allowing you to even expand it. That means that a property owner who's not going to be able to do it could put that somewhere else. Now, that interaction with that host property who's going to take that square footage, that's between the business owners. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really, really interesting policy that the county came up with to address some of the more difficult permitting aspects of some of these heritage farms.
And are people taking them up on that?
Yep, it's going slow.
And being successful with it, though?
Some are, some aren't. It's a difficult process. It's not policy that's ever been done before. When you create public policy that doesn't have precedent, there's a stumbling blocks. But,
Wouldn't you? I mean, if you have that problem like you're talking about, it seems like that would be at least something to consider, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And especially for those who are reaching an age where they don't really want to start a cannabis business at 65 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that's a typical retirement age. So I'm starting to see a lot of folks who are like, it was a good run. Raised my kids,
now
paid my property off.
Yeah.
I'm happy. And so I'm seeing those kind of relationships build. Now, to the others that do want to jump into or jump through those fiery hoops, as that caller said.
Right.
That's the back to the co-ops. There's really an opportunity to come together, to work together, to be able to scale up without having to scale up. And that's that co-op piece.
Right.
We hosted last night in Garverville an event, Humboldt County Growers Alliance, in conjunction with Emerald Grown and California Growers Association, workshop to be able to explain what co-ops are. We've been working with two Presidio grad students, and we've developed a kind of a roadmap for co-ops, which you can, if you're a listener and you are thinking about this, you can go to the California Growers Association's website and download that PDF for free. So that's public information on how to move forward.
Was that well attended last night?
ish. I would have liked to see more. There's a lot of community uproar that the small farmer is getting left behind. I think that these meetings are important to go to if you are one of those small farmers that feel like you're getting left behind.
That's a good segue, because the next thing I was going to ask you, as a matter of fact, is that we have been told about a community meeting that's happening on August the 23rd at the Mateel. From 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The info we got on it included the following. It said, legalization has been a jolt to the Soham economy as a result of fees, fines, decline in sales, arrests, small farmers going out of business. Is that something that you've heard down there? Kind of anxiety?
I'm kind of hearing that across the board in the industry. Fees and fines, cannabis... there are definitely some new fees and fines that other businesses don't have to deal with. That being said, building a business or having a business in the state of California is expensive. It just is.
Right.
I haven't been able to move my product. It's been a massive problem for many years. Mm-hmm. We are now starting to see integrity in the supply chain with that July 1st deadline, with the requirements that you have to have compliant packaging and compliant testing results. Mm-hmm. That has sent a surge of what we like to call in the old world buyers to Humboldt County. And so through our membership, we've designed and have a app on our phones that allow those buyers to contact us, and then we onboard them to this app, and then our members are able to reach out to them, and then they privately go do their business. We don't have anything to do with that. And so our members right now are seeing a surge in sales. So,
and you showed us that app, and it's almost like it's a hub where people can come and they can meet and they can do the business there. But it's a good way for a person who's interested in buying to find someone. And it looks like, from what you were showing us, it's being used.
Absolutely. And last year we had a meeting or a mixer for what we called speed dating with distro or distributors, and we brought all our membership and distributors from around the state, and that was super successful. And we're having another one of those. We're calling it Meet the Buyers, because we're also going to bring dispensary owners this time from around the state at the end of September. So if anybody is interested or having a hard time moving their legal compliant product, it would behoove them to reach out to us.
Speaking of dispensaries from around the state, is transportation still an issue from here to there, depending upon where they are?
Depends on which part of the supply chain you're in.
Right.
A farm out in the hills to Arcata, potentially, that process is getting easier. Mm-hmm. From Arcata down to a dispensary. We are seeing that process get easier. I should say that with like asterisks.
Well, but it goes to the point that this is something that's going to take a while.
It's definitely.
As we said at the beginning of this is a state that's larger than most countries. And so we knew that there were going to be things that had to be worked out.
We
should have known.
We should have. Yeah. It's slow, but it is. On one hand, it's slow. On one hand, it's moving fast. The state just came back with their quarterly projections of tax revenue, which is under. That being said, we are paying taxes now.
Right.
Humboldt County, we've put $7 million into the general fund since Measure S started being collected. And so it's slowly coming around. Track and trace is a really interesting piece of the puzzle that hasn't been implemented yet, which is the concept of seed to sales.
Right.
And being able to track product from inception all the way to the end user. Once that happens, we'll see again, I believe, another moment or another tidal wave of folks who just can't comply and are not going to be able to continue.
But
and
those who are
going to get another leg up.
And when is that?
That's a great question. If you find out, let me know. when the state starts issuing annual licenses, and we don't quite know.
Okay. Here's another comment from a local Soham resident. This is what they said. Garberville is going to eventually become a ghost town. This person points to condemned buildings and a sharp decline in donations to area nonprofits. In your experience, do you think that that's a reasonable concern or a bit of an overreaction? Or is it somewhere in between?
I think it's probably somewhere in between. I there's a lot going on in Southern Humboldt, specifically in Garberville. I think that people also just were like, okay, legalization's going to happen, and then boom, overnight, we're going to have this tourism experience. Right. We're going to have all these new businesses. That's just not how bureaucracy works. Yeah. We're still very, very entrenched in the permitting process. We just got our second ordinance, or the county just finished the second ordinance, and that has all the tourism pieces in it. So farm tours, farm stays, yep, direct sales on farms. It's going to take a couple years to not only get the permits, but to get the infrastructure built. And so I think it's too soon to call on that. I think there's an incredible amount of opportunity for Southern Humboldt specifically. Mm-hmm. But I did want to kind of tell you about a story of,
yeah,
in Eureka. Actually, yesterday I went on a tour to a distribution facility that just was able to get their permits, and they've been able to permit an abandoned building. And I went there yesterday. They were clearing out all of this stuff, and part of what was in there were just hundreds and hundreds of needles, where people were coming in and using this space to shoot heroin. And so it really just struck me as such a profound moment, because we've been working for 4 years to get to the point where we're going to start seeing things actually happen. And yesterday was one of the first times I actually saw the work we've been doing in action. That building is going to be turned into a cannabis business that's going to have security, that they're, you know, going to be able to give back to nonprofits when they're up and running. They're going to be able to be part of the community. And I think that the community in whole hasn't been able to see that yet, but that's coming.
Right.
It's coming, and it's amazing.
This was in Eureka.
My
old,
yeah,
town, downtown,
old town,
somewhere,
yep,
in that area.
Old town. I mean, old town. People, hundreds of people walk by this building every single day.
And it was being cleaned out.
Yep, it's being completely
repurposed.
I mean, they had roughly 8 employees in there. That's another piece of the puzzle that I don't think the community is seeing yet, is the employment benefits that we are going to have, based especially in our urban areas, on distribution, manufacturing, and retail outlets. I was visiting a manufacturer distributor yesterday, and they have 40 employees. And people drive by this business every single day on 101 and have no idea it's there. And so we're building this industry, and it's coming around, and I think the greater community is going to start seeing the benefits from it sooner than later, but we're just not quite there.
Following up on that building in Eureka, do you hear through the grapevine that maybe coming down the pipeline would be other projects like that, not just in Eureka, but all over?
All over. Rio Del, Eureka, Willow Creek, rural counties. I mean, with the onboarding of compliant farms, and the counties being pretty aggressive with abatement orders, so we're going to start seeing a lot of farms go away as well. There's fundamental change happening beneath our feet, in front of our eyes, but can't, yeah, quite see it yet.
Yeah, but it's beginning to become a little more clear, don't you think?
I'm in it all day long, so.
Yeah, maybe you're the wrong one to ask then, huh?
I'm,
yeah,
not sure if my perspective.
Yeah. Is it difficult to see the forest for the trees from your perspective sometimes?
Yeah. Seeing my hand in front of my face is a little difficult in the cannabis space sometimes.
Our guest, Tara Carver, will be staying with us, and next we're going to look specifically how we move forward in this climate. Again, you can reach us 707-786-5946 or studio at HumboldtChronicles.com. Before a break, though, a cannabis calendar minute. If you're in the cannabis industry or just interested in it, here are a few events going on soon that you might like to know about.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Cannabis Calendar, brought to you by the Humboldt Chronicles. The calendar features information on upcoming cannabis-related conferences and events that take place within a day's drive of Humboldt County. Elementa is sponsoring a gathering in Walnut Creek on August 19th in the East Bay, focusing on women's health issues. Guest expert Jessica Peters, a cannabis clinician and medications formulator, will lead a workshop exploring the healing intersections of cannabis, CBD, and women's health. More information is available at elementa.com. The Apothecarium Dispensary in San Francisco is hosting a free class on August 30th about the use of cannabis for treating anxiety and depression. Find out more at apothecarium.com. Finally, the Cannabis World Congress and Business Expo comes to the Los Angeles Convention Center September 26th through the 29th. Featuring a long list of speakers, seminars, and exhibitors, this conference is aimed at those involved in the cannabis business. CWCBExpo.com for all the details. If you'd like to have your event listed on the cannabis calendar, email us the details at studio@HumboldtChronicles.com.
Welcome back to the Humboldt Chronicles. And just for your own information, the name of that music is If You a Viper, originally written in 1936 by Stuff Smith, made popular by Fats Waller. It's good music. Check that out. You're listening to the Humboldt Chronicles. Here in the studio with us is Tara Carver, Executive Director of the Humboldt County Growers Alliance. If you have a question or comment, 707-786-5946 or studio at HumboldtChronicles.com. Tara, we've talked a lot about this whole experiment that we've got going here in California. What is your brightest forecast looking forward, knowing that we still have a lot to get worked out in this legalization era?
My brightest forecast would be that Humboldt County, that we all work together to ensure that our community is safe and our environment is clean, mm-hmm. and that we are responsibly taking advantage of the opportunity that we have. So looking forward, I think tourism is going to be one of the biggest plays.
I was just going to say, you used the word opportunity there. So tell me about the opportunities that you see as you work with your organization.
So cannabis is a bit different than some of the other industries we've had. Timber, fishing, those have been Those have been industries where we've exported goods out. Mm-hmm. And so we've theorize looking at cannabis a little different. Yes, we are going to export products out, but let's import people in to experience Humboldt County from a tourism perspective. And cannabis is part of that, mm-hmm. or will be part of that if we're able to work together to get it done. But it's not all of that, and it never should be. Our parks are amazing. Our beaches are incredible. Our local food movement is divine. I mean, I could go on and on and on mm-hmm. about it's Humboldt.
We have people, I was telling you during that last break, that we've had people on this show before who've mentioned tourism, mm-hmm. and said it seems to be a no-brainer for Humboldt that you would have a tourism component to this because of the name, the recognition, the history, the reputation for high quality and excellence, and on and on. It's a long list, right?
Absolutely.
And we've had people from the San Francisco Bay Area, from Los Angeles, from Denver tell us that tourism should be something you should be thinking about. Are we?
Absolutely. We should absolutely
be thinking about it. What are we doing along those lines?
As a county, we're thinking about it. The city of Eureka is thinking about it. And so right now we're kind of in the development stage of policy. And the county moved forward and passed the second ordinance, which I like to call Ordinance 2.0, which has a few tourism pieces in it mm-hmm. That would allow for tours and farm stays or bed and breakfast and a handful of other things. The city of Eureka is looking very closely at what I like to call enjoyment lounges. Where do you actually consume the cannabis? Right now, there's not a lot of options.
Well, I was going to say, what's the answer to that?
An enjoyment lounge.
Yeah. And well, but how do you do that, though?
A great question because it hasn't really been done. And so looking at other states that have done it and expanding on that and, you know, making it unique and to our community. So those policies are either here or being developed. And so moving forward, it's going to take a couple years to get, one, the permits and make sure you have the capital to build all the mm-hmm. the things you need to invite the public to whatever part of the supply chain you're in. But we'll get there. The real opportunity, and that's on the ground opportunity, but looking kind of at a bigger picture, how can we leverage this international brand? It's not just a national or state brand. It's international.
Right. Yeah.
How can we leverage that to encourage people to come here and use cannabis as a on-ramp? And then once they get here, ensure that they're coming to Ferndale, ensure that they're going to Old Town,
right.
ensure that they're spending time, responsibly spending time in our right. national parks and our beaches right. and our state parks. And so it's an opportunity and one that should not be missed. There's a lot of people who are working on it right now. There's honestly, and I'm just going to say it, this is from my perspective, one of the last prohibitionist kind of chokeholds.
Yeah.
There is opposition to tourism in Humboldt County with cannabis, which kind of breaks my brain in half. So we're working to change that perspective. And I encourage anybody who thinks that cannabis doesn't belong in the tourism space to really reach out, because we'd like to offer them a little bit of education on how that tourism can be leveraged to bring all of our businesses up.
Sure. The opposition would be because of what? They don't want those kinds of tourists? Is that what
they're kind of in that realm.
Yeah.
Humboldt County is we don't brand Humboldt well from my perspective. We brand Redwoods well. Redwoods are not just unique to Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. Cannabis is also not unique to Humboldt County,
right.
but we have an opportunity here to ensure that it is. And we've done that with policy, but we now need to do it with the marketing and branding. And so I think it's the responsibility of those folks who are tasked with marketing and branding Humboldt to really look at this from a opportunity and an economic driver and leverage it versus opposing it.
So it sounds like the sort of the tourism infrastructure is not completely built out for this yet.
Nope, the experience is not quite there. Right now, you know, you can come to Humboldt County and you can buy cannabis at some of our lovely dispensaries.
Right.
And then it's kind of like, where do you go? Yeah. And I will say, well, it's not happening. The experience isn't built out right now. We are far exceeding the rest of the state in developing the policy and having the policy. Oh, absolutely. Far exceeding. So once again, Humboldt County has proven that we're committed to this. We will get to this plane first.
Are you getting any guidance on this from, say, the Board of Supervisors or any of the economic planning organizations?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
So you're optimistic about this?
Oh, this is happening.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
And let me ask you another question then along those lines. You mentioned, what did you call them?
Enjoyment lounges. Yeah.
It makes me think, though, I believe that there is a law in California that prohibits smoking in public places.
Yep. And so
they're aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you work your way around that?
That's where I think the city of Eureka right now is really trying to figure out how that play works with that. There's a couple examples down in San Francisco. And so really, you know, ensuring the public's safety is the highest priority. Mm-hmm. And then also moving forward to offer the experience. There's conversations of, well, if you can't smoke, well, what about a lot of our manufactured products? I think that we sometimes forget, and it's probably my job to educate people, is that we're not just a flower producing region here in Humboldt. We also produce a whole skewer host of different manufactured products.
Sure.
So if you want to have an enjoyment lounge, well, what if it's a spa? What if it's topicals? Now you're not
edibles.
Smoking edibles. There's a host, but
all of that's being talked about
because, again, at the end of the day, it's the number one priority is ensuring public safety.
Do we have enough hotels, restaurants? Is transportation good enough? Do we, all of those kinds of things? I think about, because what gets brought up a lot is Napa County.
Yep.
And the people who go to Napa and Sonoma, mm-hmm. to see the wineries and enjoy some of the wine and the good food and the beautiful area and so on. And everybody says this should be the equivalent of that in the cannabis industry. Is that the view? Is that the what people are looking toward, something like that? Because if they are, it would seem to me that we would need more tourist infrastructure here.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of different models we're looking at. I think we should look at them and study them, be very careful with them. Napa, while it has a glorious infrastructure, it also has a lot of issues with the infrastructure.
It does.
And so sustainable and manageable planning is important. I have a lot of confidence in our cities and our county of doing that. I don't think that they're moving fast and furious in a dangerous route. I think they're being very mindful. Mm-hmm. On that. Regional development is a huge part of this play and this puzzle. And again, cannabis is just one little piece into it. Mm-hmm. But it's also opportunity. Again, we have a national brand. Let's leverage that to invite not only people, but people that want to create businesses here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, watching that warehouse be gutted yesterday and a building that's not had any commerce in it for probably 30 years and has been
that long.
Probably. Yeah. There's,
it's just been empty.
It's been empty. And I mean, the furniture dated to that. So that's kind of what I said, and full of needles, like just have that transformed into a viable business that is giving back to the community.
That's huge.
It's massive. It's massive. And that's the opportunity we have right now. And I'm excited to say there's a lot of people working on it and a lot of really, really mindful people that are have Humboldt values,
mm-hmm.
that are not looking to just create a economic bottom line boon, but are really looking out for the greater good of the community and the environment.
Continuing down that road of opportunity, you know, we have a lot of people who have asked us over the time we've been doing this show, what if this doesn't work? Is there a plan B? I hear you saying, though, that it probably is going to work in some way, given enough work and enough time and enough cooperation. Is that right? So you're not saying, oh, this might not work, and we don't have, as a local economy, a plan B if it doesn't. You're saying there's enough opportunity out there that in some way, shape, or form, it is going to work. Is that right or wrong? I mean, I don't want to put words
in
your mouth,
but I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
But I can say that watching and studying this for 4 years, there's so much being put into it right now and so many bright and critical thinkers working on it that I have a lot of optimism. Mm-hmm. Humboldt County has a unique and different play to it. We are not going to be a commodity. By the very definition of how big our farms and how much cannabis we can produce, we're not going to be just a bulk wholesaler. We have to move into this marketing and branding space and leverage our brand. We have significant challenges to get there. Right now, being only able to operate in the state of California is very tough. But that goes back to that federal conversation.
It does.
So there's a lot of pieces that have yet to be determined. But if watching the last 4 years and the entrepreneurship and the vigor and the passion of our whole community, cannabis and policymakers, regulators, non-cannabis business owners, I don't see this train slowing down anytime soon.
That's good news. That's actually some of the best news that Larry and I have heard, I think, on this show. One last question here, and then I want to chat with Larry for just a second. But are you seeing, and are the members of the Growers Alliance seeing some way forward without being able to use banking the way other businesses do? Are they working out some way, they must be, of doing business, at least within the state of California?
So
I know that's another
banking
big issue.
Question.
Yeah,
yeah,
right,
there's a lot of opinions in cannabis and a lot of different business models in cannabis, but one of the biggest unique factors is that we all don't have banking. And that's not only that's the smallest business to the biggest business.
Yeah.
That's across California, Oregon, Washington, yeah, and the rest of the states. And so it's a challenge. Are we able to work legally? Yes. Are we working legally with cash and have a high amount of risk? Absolutely. The state of California is working on and has been very good to us up here in Humboldt. They have put agency offices up here, so we can go and remit our application fees to Eureka instead of having to drive to Sacramento. We can also drop our taxes off, and so that's been a big relief.
That's huge.
Huge. Payroll is an interesting and hard thing to accomplish as well. So it's a mess.
It really is.
I
mean, everything has been talked about from public bank to all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So one more thing to be worked out then.
Indeed.
So you have a lot on your list.
It's cannabis is dynamic. It really intersects with almost every sector of society, whether you're talking about children with epilepsy or banking issues.
Well, and Governor Brown, I believe, just signed, didn't he, the authorization that one of those newly formed medications can be used for epileptic children. But I guess there's still a problem, though, with doctors being able to prescribe it.
Oh, they're always. I'm not.
There's another
super
show.
Familiar. Yeah, that's
okay.
A whole.
Right, we'll
have to bring another one in for that one.
Well, thank you very much for being here. This has been a great conversation with Tara Carver, the executive director of the Humboldt County Growers Alliance. Larry, did you learn anything?
Well, I learned a couple of things. The first thing I learned pretty soon after we got started is that we were lucky enough to have the exact perfect guest for the show. So that was awesome.
You made me blush. Thank you.
Very, very true. And, you know, and I think that I'm so used to talking to people who are worried about the costs of legalization, the inequities in the tax structure, the depressed market, that it was really refreshing to hear this being described as yes, we have problems, but we also have great opportunity here. And looking even just looking at the virtual marketplace app that Tara showed us shows how there's so much room for innovation, and we have the ability to build this new industry from the ground up, and we don't have to get stuck with the old paradigms. We can make this in a way that works for everybody. So that hint of optimism was new and very welcome.
I totally agree. And I think based on the shows that we've done and the people we've talked to, I think this was a good time to get a check-in like this, because I think you and I were not getting depressed about it, but we were starting to hear that there were so many hurdles to clear. It's good to hear that somebody has been able to clear some of those hurdles and is optimistic about the rest of the ones that are in that lane. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You want to add anything to what Larry just said, Tara?
Well, you guys are very kind, but this has very much been a group effort. There's so many bright and incredible people who are working on this. So I'm sending that love out to them. And have me back anytime. Your office dog is awesome. I'll come visit him.
She likes Comet.
Yeah, Comet's rad.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So are you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for being here again. I'm Chuck Rogers with producer Larry Trask. This edition of the Humboldt Chronicles will be posted soon at 941lounge.com, at lostcoastoutpost.com, and at iTunes for listening and downloading. I want to thank again our sponsors who make this program possible. We couldn't do it without you: Archaeological Research and Supply, Eco Groovy Deals in Arcata, Sisu Extracts, the Heart of Humboldt, and Cinsa Valley. We will be back with the Humboldt Chronicles at 6 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month. So that means we will see you next time on September the 19th at 6 o'clock.